Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Hi there, everyone. Welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is the health show created to bring you information and discussion of all sorts of health issues on your mind and in your life from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. And so first, let's clarify for new listeners what osteopathic medicine means. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the United States with a DO degree, a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between structure and function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or between the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a full physician's medical training. Only U.S.-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and full medical training at our disposal. This means that your individual treatment may include a wide range of approaches, but will always be founded on our gentle hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients rather than merely finding illness and disease. Our practice has been especially effective for, but not limited to, musculoskeletal and other structural issues, as well as problems like chronic headache, gastrointestinal problems, post-concussion syndrome, sleep disturbance, allergies, and many, many other health issues. We work together with you, the patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution for your health problems, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So, in the radio show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? And we do that by giving you some basic information about the problem to help you understand what's happening, as well as to offer solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience with patients in our practice. Before we get started on today's topic, let me remind you that you can listen to all of the prior Your Health shows online at your convenience, such as the shows on back pain, nutrition, carpal tunnel, and allergies, by going to Robinhood Radio's website, then the On Demand section, then scroll down and select the Your Health shows, then click on the individual show by topic. The magic of on-demand radio. It's fantastic. Well, happy holiday season. Yes, it's that time of year again with all the rushing around for special concerts, parties, displays, school events, cooking, shopping, decorating, gift wrapping, cards, charitable events and services, family coming, new grandkids or new kids, relatives you only see once or twice a year, what to do with the pets, how to fit it all into the schedule and the budget, and what if it snows? Did I put the snow tires on yet? Where is that blasted snow shovel? And did I ever get around to fixing the snow blower? Oh no. On and on and on. Mostly all potentially very joyful activities, except for maybe fixing the snow blower, and yet also potentially a very stressful time. So today we're going to talk about your health and stress, a subject that's very natural to the busy holiday season. First, let's be clear about what we mean when we use the word stress. In common usage today, we say we are stressed when we are feeling pressured and potentially unable to fulfill whatever expectations we or others may have of ourselves. That includes expectations of professional performance and interactions, as well as personal relationships and activities, all of which involve complex ecologies of intellectual, emotional, and physical demands that can be very taxing on all of those fronts. The holidays can be especially fraught for everyone with all the underlying media messages about what our activities and relationships are supposed to be, and how buying more and more things will create ideal activities and relationships, none of which actually bears much relationship to the reality of human life and relationships, regardless of socioeconomic status, race, religion, or ethnicity. But that pressure is sure hard to ignore and does create much of the underlying sense of stress that many feel during the busy holiday season. The word stress as a diagnosis has an interesting history. Long ago and far away, the term stress in English referred only to a physical pressure or strain from an external force and was a technical term in physics. Then, in 1936, according to the American Institute of Stress, which is a group devoted to research and education on the impacts of stress on human health and well-being, the term stress, as it is currently used, was coined by Hans Selye, who defined it as the nonspecific response of the body to any demand for change. Selye had noted in numerous experiments that laboratory animals subjected to acute but different noxious physical and emotional stimuli, like blaring lights, deafening noise, extremes of heat or cold, perpetual frustration, all exhibited the same pathological changes of things like stomach ulcerations, shrinkage of the lymphoid tissue, and enlargement of the adrenals. He later demonstrated that persistent stress could cause these animals to develop various diseases similar to those seen in humans, such as heart attacks, stroke, kidney disease, and rheumatoid arthritis. Selye's theories attracted considerable attention, and stress soon became a popular buzzword that ignored his original definition. People began to use the word stress to refer to difficult situations they were subjected to that they perceived were out of their control, such as being stuck in an unreasonable job or having a bad boss, financial difficulties, or problems at home. For many, stress referred to their reaction to these pressures in the form of insomnia, chest pain, heartburn, headache, or palpitations. Others used stress to refer to what they perceived as the end result of these repeated responses, such as an ulcer or heart attack. Many scientists complained about this confusion, and one physician concluded in a 1951 issue of the British Medical Journal that, quote, stress, in addition to being itself, was also the cause of itself and the result of itself. The source and response had become one word. Now we technically use the word stressor to refer to the source of the stress and the word stress to refer to the response. We tend to think of stress as a bad thing, but in reality, just to complicate things even farther from the clinical point of view, it turns out that a certain amount of stress is actually beneficial. Without any stress at all, we do not develop or perform optimally, physically, intellectually, or emotionally. This is true throughout the biosphere. The key is to manage life so that we keep our stress at the optimal level as much as possible to spur us on to be at our best mentally, physically, and emotionally without overtaxing our health and well-being. Obviously, we cannot always control all of our stressors in life, and certainly kids have essentially no control over that. But what we can do is work on our response to the stressors. It is our response to what is happening around us that creates the stress in ourselves, and we want to build internal resilience so that our responses are not so stressful. So what is so bad about stress anyway, and why are we always complaining about it? Recall what Dr. Selye observed in lab animals subjected to persistent stressors that then had a prolonged period of stress response. They were very damaging to the animal's health. We observe similar phenomena in humans. When we perceive a stressor, For example, negative feedback at work, an unresolvable problem at home, a shortage of funds, or lack of basic needs like food, fuel, or shelter, an inability to complete necessary tasks or meet a goal, a failure in any arena, or even fear or shock in the face of disease or disaster, any sense of being overwhelmed, our bodies respond with a physiological cascade involving something called the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, HPA axis for short. The HPA axis is quite complex, but in general works such that stress is perceived via the hypothalamus in the brain, which sends a hormonal signal to the pituitary gland, our master gland, that then sends another hormonal signal to our adrenal glands that sit atop our kidneys to produce cortisol and adrenaline. These stimulate our sympathetic nervous system drive, which is the fight or flight aspect of our nervous system. Recall that our nervous system has multiple components, including the central nervous system, which is our brain and spinal cord that are command central, and the autonomic nervous system, which you can think of as our automatic nervous system that controls body functions that we don't necessarily pay much attention to until they go awry. Things like heart rate, breathing, digestion, circulation, elimination, baseline muscle tone, and a host of other processes. The poorly named sympathetic nervous system, which is the fight or flight side of the house, gets activated under stress and becomes more dominant than the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest and digest side of the house. When we perceive the stress, that sympathetic nervous system kicks in. And this results in many things, including increased heart rate, increased respiratory rate, our breathing becomes faster and more shallow, increased sweating, shunting of the blood to our extremities and away from our digestive system, shutting down digestion, dilation of pupils, increased mental activity, but with a loss of deep learning ability and memory, and other similar changes throughout the body. These effects all originally evolved as good things to get through a short-term survival stress successfully, like running away from a saber-toothed tiger. But in modern life, they do not have the same ultimate outlet of physical activity like running fast for a while, followed by resolution and rest, and return to baseline non-stressed physiology. We rarely, for example, have the option of running away fast from an angry boss. We rarely have the option of running away fast from too many bills without enough income or bad traffic, etc., etc. So we generally just live with that persistent stress-related physiology for a longer period of time than it was designed for. Living in a state of persistent stress physiology can lead to bad health impacts like insomnia, adrenal fatigue, chronic anxiety and panic attacks, gastrointestinal problems like irritable bowel syndrome, cognitive and attention issues, depression and withdrawal, eating disorders, weight problems, hair loss, sensitivity to light and sound, migraine headaches, muscle spasm from increased muscle tone, increased incidence of pain and injuries, exacerbations of chronic diseases like psoriasis, herpes, or Lyme, and suppressed immune function in general, which is why we often get sick when we've been feeling stressed. Essentially, what happens is that our autonomic nervous system tips too much toward that fight-or-flight side of the house, that sympathetic nervous system, and too little toward the rest-and-digest aspect, the parasympathetic nervous system. And it stays in that sympathetic overdrive for a prolonged period of time. But we're not designed to live in a prolonged state of autonomic imbalance like this. It takes a toll on all the involved systems of the body. All right, well, it's great to know all this, right? But what the heck can we do about it? Well, the key is to remember that stress is a perception that leads to a cascade of physiological responses. We likely can't control the economy, the traffic, the holiday calendar, the family dynamic, or more seriously, health concerns in family members, our boss's moods, the fact that we forgot to pick up the dry cleaning and need that jacket for the concert tonight, although we do know that persistent stress can lead to memory impairment just when you need it to work the best. But we can learn to have more control over our own response to persistent stress, be it the average stressors of modern life or a more traumatic situation we have to deal with. We can work to build resilience in our own thoughts, body, and spirit. Here are some tips for how to manage stress. Make that effort to keep up with your basic healthcare routine. Do your very best to get plenty of sleep, drink lots of water, take your vitamins, maintain your optimal diet, really minimize those holiday indulgences. It's worth it for how much better you will feel. Exercise daily. You don't have to have a killer comprehensive exercise regimen to get the benefits of regular exercise. Even a 15 to 20 minute walk daily can have substantial beneficial effects on stress management and physiology and autonomic balance. It's remarkable what that will do for us. Practice some type of mindfulness and/or deep breathing exercises daily and throughout the day. You can remind yourself to take a few deep breaths when you were stopped at a traffic light, jammed in an elevator, waiting online, or on hold on a phone. Take your deep breaths in through your nose and really fill yourself with the new air, and then let the breath slip out through your open mouth and fully exhale all the old stale air out. You will thank yourself the more you can do this every day. Stress management supplements can be helpful if you are in an unavoidably prolonged stressful situation. There are a number of botanical supplements that can be very helpful. You can work with your physician to find the best one for you. And let me conclude with the benefits of regular osteopathic treatment on stress management. Gentle, traditional osteopathic treatment is very beneficial when dealing with stress, regardless of the source. The gentle hands-on work of an osteopathic physician who is a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine can make a real difference in rebalancing the autonomic nervous system back towards an appropriate relationship between the fight-or-flight response and the rest-and-digest response. How? By working precisely with the specific anatomy involved, such as the sympathetic nervous system ganglia and relevant muscles, the fascia and connective tissues of the kidneys and adrenal glands, and the cranial bones and tissues impacting the HPA axis, and many other approaches to help your body restore balanced autonomic nervous system function, and resulting healthy physiology throughout, so you can relax and release stress on a long-term basis and avoid the harmful effects of living with a chronic stress response physiology. So this time of year, remember that even though we can't control all of the people in the world around us, we can influence our own responses to that world to try and maintain a balanced perspective and physiology that helps to maintain our health and well-being, and manage our stress responses so that they are appropriately short-lived to get us through a crisis and do not become our baseline way of being. Well, that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for your attention to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp. Remember, you can email your questions, comments, and suggestions for topics to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. If you have a health issue yourself and would like to find out about how we might be able to help you in our practice of traditional osteopathic medicine, we are at our offices in Sharon, Connecticut. Dr. Kim Tripp and Dr. Andrew Goldman, Goldman Tripp Osteopathic Healthcare, 860-364-5990, Monday to Friday, 8:45 a.m. to 5 p.m. with evening hours Wednesdays and Fridays, or on the web at www.goldmantripp.net. I'll be looking forward to being with you next time, every other Friday at 12:30 and Sundays at 5:30. Meantime, take care of yourself, enjoy your health and the holiday season, and thank you for listening.